On today's Bill of the Flatus Show, erotic lifestyles, pop songs, and pudding. All of this and more. The Flatus Show, starring Kenty and Jose. Welcome to the Flatus Show. Tab for my diet. Delicioso. Welcome to the Flatus Show. I'm Kenty. Jose is in the other room taking a nap. No, he's still taking a nap. And you can reach me. Come to my website at theflatusshow.com and come and see all the good things. I got an email from Darren from Florida. Thank you, Darren from Florida, for all your help. I'm going to be sending him some information. He's going to help me out with my HTML. Isn't that wonderful? And hopefully we'll hear more from Darren because he sent that ukulele song during the summer, the end of summer, which was a wonderful treat for me as well as all of my listeners. Thank you. And I want to thank all my listeners. So let's see here. So you can reach me at theflatusshow.com. You can email me at flatusshow@gmail.com. If you want to send me voice comments, send me an MP3 at flatusshow@gmail.com. How's that? How's that? How are those apples? And if you have anything bigger, you'll need to, I don't know, put it up into some sort of web space, I guess. Pardon me. Thank you. Today, I went to, did I already talk about this? I went to church today. I think I already talked about this later on in the show. But anyway, I was with my niece, and we were talking about, I was asking her about what she was doing in school. She read of Catcher in the Rye, so we sort of bonded on that, because that's one of my favorite books, with Scout and Boo Radley and Atticus and Tom Robinson and the white trash in there. You know, the white trash girl who claims that Tom Robinson, the black guy, raped her, but she lied because it's her father who raped her. Isn't that disgusting? Which is, you know, like, you know, sort of like pedophilia and incest all at once, you know. Which we talk about later on because I talk about Madame Butterfly. And, you know, it's really sad to call her Madame Butterfly because it makes it sound like Madame Butterfly's a woman. But Butterfly, Cho Cho San, is only a 14-year-old girl, 15. She's a young girl. It's like, you know, she is a child, you know, and we have this, you know, the U.S. Government agent, you know, a Navy man come over and gets her pregnant, you know, marries her, gets her pregnant. And it's a marriage. He marries her so he can get her pregnant, right? But he doesn't really recognize the marriage. And that's scummy. And of course, that happened in Vietnam, too. A lot of our GIs had children in Vietnam and left them there. So you have these blue-eyed, blonde-haired Vietnamese children. Anyway. Where am I going to stay here? Okay. I bought the other day. Did I tell you about my running suit? Our Under Armour, it's tight. Yeah, rayon covered sausage. Yeah, that's the previous one. So, you know, my feet sweat like nothing. It's like horrible. My feet are sweat profusely. It's terrible. And they're also cold all the time. And my legs are kind of achy. Well, I found something really wonderful. So if your calves are achy and your feet sweat, I purchased Nike compression socks for soccer players. They're knee-high socks. They're tight to your leg, right? They're really tight. And your feet, they compress you. I mean, they compress your legs and your feet. And they also wick away all the moisture. My feet have not been dry. I mean, my feet are amazingly dry since I found these. The only thing I don't like is the Nike symbol on my sock here, and I'd like to get a pair of black ones. I bought blue ones, so I look like my feet look like a Catholic schoolgirl, you know, That's what I need, a Catholic schoolgirl uniform, and I'll be fine, you know? It'll be a match here. But they're great. They're great. I love them. I love these socks so much. John just rolls his eyes in his head. He goes, you wear tight things, and that has to be whatever. But you know what? They're wonderful. You know, I get the support I need for my legs. And my feet were really hurt. My calves were really hurting me. And since using these socks, they just give you support. Support is so important for your skin. And another thing is my feet don't get cold. You know, when I'm walking around, they're wonderful. They're the best thing since sliced bread. So I don't recommend, I mean, I have the Nike ones because that's the only ones that I found at City Sports. But I'm looking for other brands which don't have their logo on it. So if anybody can let me know about these socks. They're special compression socks for soccer players that wick away the sweat from your feet. They're wonderful. And I guess, you know, if you're a runner, too, if you're running and you sweat, they're great. Or any kind of exertion, you know. Like, some people sweat while they're watching television. So get these socks, and it will wick away the sweat. Pardon me. Other news. I had a ceramic head, a Beethoven head. It was a bust of Beethoven. It was ceramic. And I bought it a year ago when I – what was I doing? Oh, yeah, I made mugs for the Two Guys, One Brain, ceramic mugs. I had to hand paint the mug, have it fired, and pick it up. And they came out okay, but I probably could have done better. I could do better now that I know how it works. So I might make them another pair of mugs. Who knows? So Randy and Andy, hope you're not listening. You know, then you'll know I'm sending a mug. Which reminds me, Randy, if you're listening to this, which you probably won't have listened to this by the time you receive it, but I'm going to be sending you something in the mail. So this is probably April by now, by the time you hear this. So anyway, so there you go. Okay. What am I going to do? Oh, anyway, the Beethoven head, I went to the place and painted it, finally. There's Jose at the door. And I finally painted it. Let me go get him. Come on. Come on. Coming in? Come on. Want to say hi to the people? Say hi. Okay, he's sitting on my lap. Anyway, the Beethoven head, I painted it. And I put red lipstick and smeared lipstick on them. Sort of like the, there's a film with Japanese kids and they're like drug addicts. And there's one girl, she's lipstick smeared all over her face. That's what I was trying to do. Make Beethoven a drug addict. But so we'll see what it's like. I mean, it took a long time to paint. And I was like, whatever happens is fine. I don't really care. I just want it glazed so it looks like something. So I waited so long. So what to do? Little Jose, you said hi to the people. Okay, on that note, we're going to leave you with the rest of the show. And that's it. This show is going to be about other things, too. I was going to talk more about child problems, like child prostitution in the world and terrible people. You know, there's a movie called Pretty Baby with Brooke Shields. Oh, yeah, let me tell you this story. Pretty Baby... Brooke Shields is about New Orleans, and it's about a house of prostitution and children who live in it. And Brooke Shields is coming of age, so enough to be a prostitute, I guess. Her mother, Susan Sarandon, and David Carradine is this photographer, and he lives in the brothel. And he falls in love, like lust, really. He wants to have Brooke Shields. The mother, I think, eventually acquiesces and says okay and dresses her up all fancy. It's very scandalous because, you know, you have David Carradine, you have Brooke Shields, who's 12, and Susan Sarandon, she's great. It's a great movie, Louis Malle, but it's also disturbing. So anyway, this is like, I don't know, 1976 or 1977, because she was 12, I guess, 12 or 13. 12 or 13. So yeah, 76 or 77 this movie is made. So it was very controversial. So it's my aunt had just, so okay, this is the backstory. Controversial movie, blah blah blah. So it's, I don't know, Thanksgiving or Christmas or something like this. We're at my aunt's house. They had just gotten cable. My grandmother's there, my aunt, my uncle, the cousins, my mom, my dad, you know, everybody, the whole family's at the house. And we're like, my aunt's like, let's watch cable. We just got cable, HBO. So we're all sitting around on the floor. My grandmother's in the chair behind us, and everybody's on the couch, and I'm on the floor. We all have our bowls of ice cream in the Corel bowls. You ever have Corel, like Corel plateware and stuff? And then Onita spoons, you know, some silver, not even silver, stainless steel. So we're eating our ice cream, and we're sitting there, and we're like, what's the movie? Well, it's Pretty Baby. And my grandma's like, oh, yeah, I remember. I heard about this movie. It's about old times. And, you know, my grandmother was born in 1913. She's probably thinking of her childhood. Which reminds me, her father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, tried to sell my grandmother into prostitution. Apparently, they were poor. I mean, they needed some money. And the grandfather had these boys come over and take my grandmother out. And then they were trying to get their way with her, and she, like, beat them up and came back home. And my grandfather's like, what are you doing? Why didn't you put out? So it was like, after that, I think that's when my grandmother's decided to marry my father, my grandfather, Otto. But isn't that amazing? I just remembered that. So this movie's about child prostitution. My grandmother was, you know, had a father who was a weirdo. So I don't know what hell went on that family. This is the same grandmother that Jesus talked to, so, and healed. But you heard about that 6 months ago. So, little Jose's little sleepy little Jose. So anyway, we're all sitting there. We don't know what this movie's about. My grandmother heard something about it. Oh, it's old times. It'll be great. The ukulele. So we're all sitting there. And, you know, I think we're all sitting there watching it, and it's like the spoons fell out of our hands as we realized what the movie's about. But you know what's really odd about this whole situation is that it was a big holiday. We're all sitting around. No one changed the channel because I saw it till the very end. We're all sitting there. I'm thinking, and I thought to myself, boy, I got to see an R-rated movie, you know, in the living room of my aunt's house. And it was a good movie, but the subject matter was very, very disturbing. And to think that that was on, you know, cable TV, prime time, my aunt's whole family's watching it, like it was like, you know, like it was Three's Company, you know, so. Oh, well. Anyway, see you later. Have a good day. Enjoy the show. Bye-bye, Jose. Bye.
Lash. That's Brenda Starr you hear, finishing up her scoop just for you.
So Brenda Starr has escaped death. Jig is arrested, and we find out that Spiff has a child. Now, he's the gay guy, remember? But it has nothing to do with this story. It's just the fact that he said, I was surprised when I found out I had a child. Because Brenda has to tell Lula about her child, which is actually Tina Titan, and it's Mike Mooney's child, too. So she wants to see Lula first, so she goes to see Lula. Lula's has revived. And she's like, oh, I think it's time for me to leave this mortal coil, Brenda. I have no friends. And Brenda's there. But Lula, I'll be your friend. And she says, yes, okay, Brenda. I understand what you want to do. But Studs Terkel said, you don't know the songs. And what it means is, she says, is that people... If you don't know the songs I grew up listening to, you're never going to know me. And I find that really interesting, you know. So the songs I grew up with were like, you know, Seasons in the Sun. There is joy, there is fun, there is Seasons in the Sun. And the Led Zeppelin songs too. But I play all this old music, which probably, first of all, was probably never even a hit then. Just Like a Butterfly That's Caught in the Rain. It's a wonderful song. 1927. But I mean, who remembers it, right? I'm reviving it. So if I have any listeners who grew up in 1927 and know that song, I'm trying. I'm trying, honey, to know your songs. And I probably know more of them than most people. So yeah, let me pause here and finish up. So yeah, so Lula's in bed. dying. Well, she's not dying, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay, she's in bed, and Brenda has told... It actually did not tell Lula yet about Teen Titans, but Mike Mooney arrives. So Mike Mooney comes into the room, and him and Lula are exchanging, you know, salutations. And she's like, I don't want you to see me like this old. And he's like, oh, but, you know, I want to see you. I love you. So Brenda says, I have to tell you something. And then she tells them that they have a daughter. And they're like, daughter? So now they know that Teen Titans is their daughter. So Lula says, when can I meet my daughter? And at that moment, Teen Titans walks in. And she's like, should I call you mom or mommy? And she says, only when I have earned it. Lula says that to her. Mike Mooney says, you can call me dad. So the next scene we have is Ashes of Desire. Remember the movie that Lula was in with Darth Fable that was never released? Well, it has been released for the first time, and they're having a grand opening. And Brenda Starr, Spiff and Brenda Starr are together. And then down the red carpet come Mike Mooney and Lula and Teen Titans and Betty Snopes as well. So that's where we're at. Isn't that great? Nice little story.
When it's raining from the sky and I see a butterfly, I can almost hear him sighing, 'cause he has to stop his flying. I can easily sympathize with those helpless butterflies. Here I am lonely, tired and lonely, crying for home in vain. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain, longing for flowers, dreaming of hours back in that sun-kissed lane. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain, I know that all of the world is cheery by that old cottage door. Why are my wings so weary? I can't fly anymore. Here I am praying, brokenly saying, give me the sun again. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain. When the little drops of rain patter on my window pane, all the world is dark and gloomy. No one gives affection to me. Wish that I could fly away to somebody's arms today. Here I am lonely, tired and lonely, crying for home in vain. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain, longing for flowers, dreaming of hours back in that sun-kissed lane. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain, I know that all of the world is cheery by that old cottage door. Yeah! Why are my wings so weary? I can't fly anymore. Here I am praying, brokenly saying, give me the sun again. Just like a butterfly that's caught in the rain.
Several weeks ago, I played for you. What did I play for you? I played you a copy of Madame Butterfly's Une Belle D, sung by Marie Collier from the English National Opera. It was in English. And I love that performance. She's great. Marie Collier is great. And I wanted to perform it on my ukulele one fine day, the aria, Une Belle D, Alf English. And I have a book of a fake book. It's a classical fake book, and it's in there, and it has the line, the melody line, plus just the chords to play. Of course, this particular recording, I mean, this piece of music is in G flat, which is has six flats in it, which is unusual for the ukulele. However, with the magic of a capo, I was able to easily play this. So the problem was me, the laziness, really, is to find the lyrics that Marie Collier was singing, which I have on the LP, and sort of match them up to the melody and write them in there. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm not going to do it. You know, off, put it 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 off, as I said. So last week when I got my eyes done, remember I talked about my eyes? And they're fine. They're presbyopic, but, you know, what are you going to do? Getting old. It's just, you know, that's life, you know. It's life. So I'm in the music store, Orpheus, which I mentioned before. Used classical music store. It's in Boston on Commonwealth Avenue, right near the old tower, where Tower Records used to be. In fact, right now in Boston there is Jose. He's a little shaking. Let me go take him out and out of the room here and get a cup of water because I'm parched. Because I'll explain why. So hold on, Sharita. Come on, Taffy. No. Welcome back. I put Jose out there in the kitchen. He's taking a little nap. Jose! I'm going to close the door. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So I was at Orpheus, and I found a bunch of sheet music. And one thing I bought, and I thought, oh, yeah, here's an English translation now. It was sheet music 4, Une Belle D, Vedremo, from Madame Butterfly. The sheet music is piano and voice, and it has an English translation, and it was from copyrighted 1904. So I was thinking, oh, good, this is, I know, it's public domain, you know, and I can, not that really makes a difference. I have played non-public domain stuff, which I feel bad, because I wish I could play just public domain stuff, but it's difficult for me. Because I have to go in and put the chords in and learn the melodies. It's very difficult. And of course, you know, I grew up in the 20th century. You know, I was born in 64. So all the songs that I know from heart are, of course, not public domain. But they might as well be. I mean, you know. But at the same time, I also don't have a lot of those 70s pop songs, the music for it. They're boring, to be quite honest. And these songs from the early part of the 20th century are really great. So anyway, Madame Butterfly. I have the sheet music, and it has the music, right? It has the notes, and it has the lyrics in both English and Italian. Un bel dì vedremo lavarsi un fil di fuomo sola tremo. Anyway, but that's the Italian, probably poorly said. So if anybody's from Italy, you can correct me. So here's the English, and it's the same lyrics that Miss Collier sings. That must be the addition. She was singing. My throat's a little parched. It's catching. I can't talk sometimes. Sorry. So anyway, Madame Butterfly. So I found it. I put the chords in. I learned it today. I spent all effing day. I went to church. Okay. So I learned it, and I'd perform it. You'll hear it later on. So there you go. But anyway, this morning, I wasn't even going to go to church, work on my show, because I had a crap load of stuff I had to do this weekend. In fact, I didn't even finish it all yesterday. And I got up today, Sunday, at 6 a.m. to finish up my chores, things I wanted to get done. Thought about the show. In fact, I thought about most of my show after when I was driving to church. Now, yeah, I went to church because my niece, she's, I don't know how old, she's seven. She's in second grade or something like that. She goes, I want to go to church. She's asking her mother. She goes, Mom, will God talk to me? And she wants to know what he sounds like. And, you know, and her mother said, you have to go to church. So I said, I'll take her because Gilly goes, you know, take her to Gilly's church. It's John's mother. Gilly. So we went to the church. But anyway, as it turns out, I was up at 6 o'clock this morning. It's Sunday. I'm very tired. So anyway, where was I? So anyway, Maria has calls me and tells me, actually her mother calls me this morning, Maria won't be going to the church. Now I'm like, oh yeah, that's good. But Megan is going. So the older niece, she's going because she's going to stay at Gilly's. So I said, okay, I'll take you. Another thing is that this Sunday was the Communion Sunday, which I haven't been to Communion in ages. And I didn't want to go to the Communion services because they're long. And, you know, I wanted to get home and get my podcast done. So I was home at 1 o'clock. It's 3 something now. It's like 20 minutes to 4. I've been working on my Umbel di Vedremo all day. So that's where I'm at. Anyway, I had communion. But let's talk about Butterfly, and then we'll go back to communion later. So anyway, Unbelty. Hold on. Let me get my props here. Okay, here is the libretto. This is from copyrighted 1904, so this is public domain. Am I obsessed with public domain or what? Probably. Anyway, Pinkerton is a United States Navy guy, and he comes to Japan, and he has a contract to marry Cho-Cho-San, who is 14. She's a Japanese girl. And so he leases a house and marries her. And the family is upset that Butterfly is marrying Pinkerton because he's a white man. Butterfly, stay with your own kind. Stay with your own kind. Stay with your own kind. So they get married, you know. And he, you know, they have a wedding night. Passionate love scene. So that's the end of Act 1. Okay, he rips off his shirt and he takes her. Now, of course, remember, she's 14, okay? He's an older man. This is really a story about pedophilia. And Americans, you know, pedophilia, thinking that they can go anywhere in the world and, you know, do what they want in the light of the early 20th century, okay? I'm not so sure it happens today, but, you know, who knows? And it's not saying that all Americans are bad, but Pinkerton is certainly scum of the lowest kind. So Pinkerton has long since left Butterfly. This is the opening of Act 2. And she sits and waits for him every day for 3 years. This has been going on. Because he said to her, I will return when the robins nest. So, but he didn't tell her whether it was the South Hemisphere or the North Hemisphere. Anyway. So the curtain rises on Act 2, and Butterfly is telling Suzuki, her maid, Suzuki, he'll come back. You have faith. He'll come back. And so she sings Un Bel Di Vedremo, which I have sung. And how about if I just insert it right here, okay? So I'm going to just insert Un Bel Di Vedremo. I've sung it with my ukulele.
One fine day we'll notice a thread of smoke arising on the sea. In the far horizon, and then the ship appearing. Then the trim white vessel glides into the harbor, thunders forth her cannon. See you, now he is coming. I do not go to meet him, not I stay upon the brow of the hillock and wait there, and wait for a long time, but never weary of the long waiting. From out the crowded city, there is coming a man, a little speck in the distant climbing hillock. Can you guess who it is, and when he's reached the summit? Can you guess what he'll say? He will call butterfly from the distance. I, without answering, hold myself quietly concealed, a bit to tease him, and a bit so as not to die at our first meeting. And then a little troubled he will call. He will call, dear baby wife of mine, dear little orange blossom, the names he used to call me when he came here. This will all come to pass as I tell you. Banish your idle fears, for he will return, I know. Do 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 do.
I worked on that all day. It was hard. It was really hard. But I'll tell you something. I was going to splice it together because I was doing different parts at different times. Because it's difficult. I mean, and I had it. It's hard to, like, change the style from opera to, you know, more popular. But that was one take. So there, Sharita. So anyway, she sings this. And she finally sees that the ship has come, the Abraham Lincoln. That's Pinkerton's ship. And So she's like, everybody, Suzuki, get the house ready. Decorate it. Decorate it with the flowers. Get the baby ready. Because, okay, by the way, Butterfly has had a baby in the time. You know, he married her, had sex with her. She got pregnant and had a baby. And then he went back to America. So she's raising the baby by herself. She is an outcast. She's a teenage mother, okay? But she knows that her husband, Pinkerton, is going to come back, right? And you know, and love her and everything. That's what you heard in the song. You know, she's like, one fine day, we're going to see that smoke rising. And it's, you know, the ship will appear and it will glide into harbor. And the cannons will roar. Wait till you see. He's coming. I'll tell you, he's coming. And but she says, I'm not going to meet him. I'm going to stand on the hill and wait for him there. And I'll wait for him, and I will not be weary waiting for him. I guess that doesn't make sense. But anyway, so from out of the crowded city, there's coming a man, a little man. That's him, Pinkerton. And she's waiting on the hill. Remember, she's going to wait on the hill for him. And then she's going to see him from out of the crowded city because she's out in the country. He's going to come up the hill, and then she says, can you guess what who it is? And that's who she's saying to Suzuki. Can you guess who it is? And when he's reached the summit, can you guess what he'll say? You know, she's like thinking, oh my God, you know, he's going to come up the hill. And Suzuki, you know who that is I'm talking about? It's Pinkerton. He's going to say, Butterfly, I love you. He's going to call her from a distance. And she's going to be a little... And she's going to say, I, without answering, hold myself quietly concealed. She's going to put a fan in front of her face a little bit to tease him. Pinkerton, oh, haven't seen you in 3 years. Wait till you see your child. And then also a little bit to tease him, but also a little bit as not to be to die at their first meeting. Because she loves him so much. She has masturbated for 3 years thinking about him. And you know that she's going to come up to him and that the first meeting, that little touch, she's going to melt. Because she loves him so much. The smell of him. She can smell the salt on his outfit. She just wants to nestle up to her Pinkerton. Oh, Pinkerton, I love you so much. And wait till you see the baby. He's 3 now. He only speaks Japanese, though. I tried to teach him English, but he did not come out good. So then, a little troubled, he will call. He will call, dear baby wife of mine, dear little orange blossom. The names, she says, the names he used to call me when he came here from before. This will all come to pass, Suzuki. I tell you, banish your idle fears, for he will return. I know it. And that's the end of the Umbel D. I know. Do 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 do, and then the orchestra roars. But I just sort of hummed it along with the chords. So anyway, so she's waiting there, and she waits there. The sun goes down, the baby falls asleep, Suzuki falls asleep, and she just sits there waiting on the hillock, and he does not return. He has forsaken her. So it is dawn. And Suzuki finds the baby asleep and Butterfly still waiting and watching for... Isn't that sad? She stayed up all night. She finally saw this ship, prepared the house, and, you know, she expected him to be maybe 15 minutes because, I mean, it's not that far from the city to her house, I imagine. You know, get the house ready, Suzuki. Get the coffee ready. Come on, I'm going to sit right here. I'm going to prepare myself on the hill. Look out there. Get my fan ready. Get the fan in my face. And it wasn't 15 minutes. No way. No, she was waiting there all effing night. The baby fell asleep. Come on, baby, wake up, wake up. Look up for your father. So we find out that Pinkerton has arrived back in Japan, but with a strange lady, his American wife. Well, Butterfly, you know, was flabbergasted. Well, I thought you were my wife, she's thinking. But it's not. She's very, you know, she's very quiet about this. They have come back to take the baby. And sorry, Butterfly, we really weren't married. Because in my contract, I can break it off any time. Because the Japanese marriage contract is different than than the American one. You see, the Americans didn't recognize that marriage. He went back to Boston to marry the real wife. I can imagine she might have said something like this to Butterfly.
See these rings? Guess who bought them for me? If you want, you can look at my clothes. They're the finest of polyester, and I didn't pay for them. Children would only get in the way of our erotic lifestyle. Bye-bye.
That was Mink Stoll from Polyester. She's her and Elmer, you know, Elmer was cheating on Francine. And, you know, think about it. You know, that movie is very much like Butterfly because, you know, Francine is Butterfly and Cuddles is Suzuki and Elmer is Pinkerton and Mink Stoll is the Mrs. Pinkerton. But then where's Tab Hunter fit into it? Okay, well, it's like Butterfly except for Tab Hunter and LaRue because LaRue is Francie's. Let's forget about that. Anyway, that was Polyester. So, needless to say, Pinkerton, his new wife, come back and take the child. And then, actually, they say, you know, they want to take the child. And Butterfly says, okay, you can take the child. But she does something. She waits. She goes into her room. She has the child sitting there. And then she kills herself. And then they come in and find her dead body and the child waiting for the husband. Or does she kill herself in front of her husband? Or in front of Pinkerton? I don't know. So that's Ben a Butterfly. You know, it's sort of, it's like Degrassi Junior High, too. You know, with Spike getting pregnant. And then, well, her husband isn't really a sea captain, is he? Because he's only 14, too. But it's a teenage pregnancy. That's close enough, isn't it? Anyway.
I don't know why I made you cry. I'm sorry, sweetheart, and yet, though you shouldn't be lenient with me, I hope you'll forgive and forget. What can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry? What can I do to prove it to you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ever be mean to you. If I didn't care, I wouldn't feel like I do. I was all wrong, but right or wrong, I don't blame you. Why should I take somebody like you and shame you? I know that I made you cry, and I'm so sorry, dear. So what can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry? You made me glad, I made you sad, I made you lonesome and blue, and who ever knew, who'd ever think that I would be crying to you? What can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry? What can I do to prove it to you? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to ever be mean to you. If I didn't care, I wouldn't feel like I do. I was all wrong, but right or wrong, I don't blame you. Why should I take somebody like you and shame you? I know that I made you cry, and I'm so sorry, dear. So what can I say, dear, after I say I'm sorry?
cooking. That's right. Now for the cooking portion of the latest show.
Well, I haven't had a cooking portion of the latest show in a long time. So here's the cooking portion. For the past several weeks, I've been really into instant pudding, sugar-free instant pudding. And so I was buying the Jell-O brand instant pudding. I used to hate instant pudding because it was, I don't know, had an unusual flavor to it. And instant pudding is you take 2 cups of milk and you add your package of pudding. I'm just a mess. You take your box of pudding. Generally speaking, this is the 2.1-ounce box. Mix it into the cold milk until it's dissolved, and then you can pour it into your plates and let it set in the refrigerator for 30 minutes. It only takes 5 minutes to set for soft serve, like a soft set. But it's better to keep it in the refrigerator for at least 30 minutes because it sets up nice. So I've been eating all this pudding. I love it. You know, it's a nice low-calorie dessert, a little treat, sugar-free. So I get 2% milk because I can't stand skim milk, and it doesn't really work with skim milk. So you get 2% milk, mix the pudding up and make it up, and you have like a little half cup with your meal. It's 110 calories. Now I have been putting a little bit of low-calorie whipped cream on it with a maraschino cherry just to make it fancy. But that's not necessary. It's so good.
It's delicious. Oh.
Jell-O, I found out, has more than just chocolate and vanilla. Because when I was growing up, that's all they had for instant was chocolate and vanilla. They have pistachio. They have banana cream. They have cheesecake. They're all pretty good. Now, I didn't taste the vanilla instant for Jell-O because when I bought it, I bought the cooked kind. I had to cook it, which is a pain in the ass. So the other day, I went and bought Royal instant pudding. Royal's a brand. It's cheaper. It's about 20 cents cheaper. And I made the vanilla pudding, and it was delicious. I think it was even better than the Jell-O brand. So if you're going to buy instant pudding and you like just plain vanilla or chocolate pudding, the Royal is very good. Another trick I found is that this says to add 2 cups of milk and then add your contents, right, and stir it. Well, what I've done is add a little extra milk. I have a feeling that you could probably add 3 cups of milk to one of these packages and it would come out just fine. And I would venture a guess that maybe even 4 cups would work, but I haven't gone that far yet, so I don't know. I'm afraid to do that. I'm like the ape in the beginning of 2001, A Space Odyssey, like touching I'm afraid. I fear it's not going to work out. But, I mean, what is it? I've wasted 4 cups of milk, which is, you know, people are starving in the world, you know, and a package of pudding for 79 cents. But it seems wasteful to try to want to do that. At the same time, I want to do it because I can, like, stretch my dollar even more. Isn't that what it's all about, stretching your dollar? The other day I was looking at this website that showed the cost of living and how it's changed from 1930 till now, I think. And our dollar is worth less than it was in the 1970s when it really had a huge value, meaning that a person who earned a dollar in even the 60s, I mean, in the 60s and 70s, that dollar bought them more than the dollar buys today. And you're like, oh, of course, Kenty, that's true. But I mean, really makes a difference. I mean, if you compare, like, what people were paying for rent and mortgages back in the 70s in relation to their income as a percentage, it was a lot lower than it is today. I mean, I mean, a large percentage of, you know, my salary goes to pay for the house here. And it's not like an extravagant house, and I don't make a lot of money. But, you know, I just wish for a day that, you know, your cost of living would be, you know, less than half of what you actually make. So, I don't know. Like, I mean, you know, I don't know how people do it. I really don't. I see people all over the place in town or whatever. Well, of course, I live in a kind of Tony town, meaning that there's a lot of rich people here. And the real estate is really, you know, high. What I live in is not really worth. It's not like the other places. You know, I'm like the poor of Rockport. And but I see people walking around. It's like, what kind of jobs do they have that they can afford the big house, a single family home? Because I live in a condo. It's a house that was made into a condo. A single family home with, you know, cars, two cars, and eight children, and they have summer houses and winter houses. And I'm thinking to myself, how do people do it? You know, what do they do? What kind of worth is there, you know? Maybe it's just you ask and, you know, you receive, or you just, you know, how do you fake it? How do you, what kind of results are these people getting to be paid so much? I mean, it, you know, it makes me feel like a dork, you know, that I'm not, why aren't I getting a slice of pie? A slice of pie made with royal instant pudding and pie filling. Mmm, delicious royal pudding. So... Mmm, royal pudding, instant pudding for my diet. The royal people, you know, I like you. If anybody's here, is anybody here listening from the Royal Pudding Company? Hi, how you doing? So, yeah, the Royal Pudding Company. So, let's see what else I'm reading. Okay, I'm almost, I'm into, for the Bible in 90 days. I'll be finished by next week. I have nine more days, actually, less than 9 days to go. And I am into, where am I? Corinthians, I think. I'm in Corinthians. So I'm going to start reading a little bit tonight. I want to finish that because I want to read the new Norman Mailer book called A Castle in the Forest. I bought that. So this would be very good. It's about a book about the birth of Hitler and how he was spawned by the devil, a lower devil named Dieter. And I think Hal Lindsey is full of crap. I also think that St. Paul is full of crap. Paul, the one who's written Romans and stuff like that, you know. I think Paul is the beginning of religion. And has gone away from what, you know, you're supposed to be doing. That was the problem with the Israelites, is that they wanted religion and they didn't want to know God, you know. If you come from an assertion that there's a God that created the earth, the God who created the earth wants to be recognized as the only God. So with religion, though, you have a, what do they call that? You have to be recused. It's a the interest, some interest thing. You know, double interest. You can't have double interest. So that's that. Yeah. So I'm going to be putting up my list of things I've read in the Bible, so for everybody to read if they want to follow my path in the Bible. Anyway. I think this is it. I had other things to say, and I can't remember what they are. So I guess that's it. Huh? Let's see, how many minutes do I have here? I have 8 minutes. So what's everybody doing, huh? How's everybody doing? How are the kids? Tell me that. How are the kids? How are the kids doing? How's your partner doing? How's your boyfriend? How's your girlfriend? Tell me, write to me at the Flatus Show. You can't call me anymore, 206-339-JOSE, because that number has been disconnected. But I'm not bitter. I swear to God, I'm not bitter. I just can't wait to redo my website to get rid of that goddamn number. Oh, what to do. So anyway, you can email me at flatusshow@gmail.com. You know what? This is like a segment that's almost like the beginning, so I'm going to end it right now, okay? Because the ends are the beginnings and the beginnings are the ends. You've been listening to The Flatus Show. You can reach me at flatusshow@gmail.com or come by and visit my website at theflatusshow.com. Thank you for listening.